This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. When you picture a penguin, now you see it surrounded by snow and ice, right? Well, braving that brutal polar wind to shield a single egg until it hatches. I know, you've seen the movie. But not all penguins were built for the cold. And this week, scientists are reporting that they have found at least two new species and possibly one, as many as five species that once lived in the warm desert of what is now Peru, millions of years earlier than once thought, and one of them was 5 feet tall. Joining me now to talk more about the new find is my guest, Julia Clark, assistant professor in the Department of Marine, Earth, and Atmospheric Sciences at North Carolina State University in Raleigh. She's also research curator of paleontology at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences and a research associate at the American Museum of Natural History here in New York. Welcome to Science Friday.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Were you surprised yourself at this discovery?
Oh, absolutely. You know, just the age of these new discoveries and the giant size of our 36-million-year-old species is really quite striking.
Huh. So set the scene for us. Before this find in Peru, what did we know or think we knew about where penguins have lived in the past?
Well, there had been a consensus that penguins originated in the very southern high-latitude regions and only reached low-latitude equatorial regions much less than 15 million years ago, perhaps as recently as 4 million years ago.
So they went from the south to the equator.
Yes, exactly. And we thought that although, you know, we know that the earliest fossil penguin is around 61 million years, that's only 4 million years after the extinction of the non-avian dinosaurs in high-latitude New Zealand, we thought that they only made their way to these equatorial regions very, very recently.
And this now upsets that cart.
Absolutely. And the question isn't simply, you know, just pushing it back a lot further in Earth history. It's a very different, the Earth is a very different place when we now know that these species arrived at these equatorial regions. You know, we previously thought that only close relatives of living species of penguins and living species reached these equatorial regions during a much cooler Earth, an Earth with ice caps and overall much, much cooler than it was when these new species lived about 36 and 42 million years ago.
Mm-hmm. So these species that you've discovered were able to live in a warmer climate.
Absolutely. And what we find is that, in fact, it's striking with our new data and data published last year is that penguins really flourished early in their history in these much warmer conditions. These are conditions where equatorial regions and polar regions were much closer in temperature. And we have, you know, the five evidence, you know, of five species in these new deposits from Peru, and then also a considerable diversity in the poles at that time. So they were doing quite well in this much earlier period in Earth history.
Mm-hmm. But some of them stayed down there to become the penguins of today?
Well, we don't really know. We don't know where. It's suggested that the living diversity of penguins may have also originated in high latitudes and subsequently moved to low-latitude regions. We think that, you know, I think it's important to remember that what we have today in the way of penguins is just essentially a tiny little twiglet of the penguin family tree. And we think, you know, what certainly the fossil record has taught us is that ecologies evolve and that living penguins very much may be and appear to be cold-adapted species or more cold-adapted than what we think these early species might have been.
Mm-hmm. So if we shouldn't be worried about global warming then because these penguins could adapt again to warmer species, to warmer climates.
Oh, I hope no one gets that message. You know, what we're trying to say is that you know, what's really striking is the different relationship with global climate change we see early in the penguin lineage. But, of course, you know, species and whole lineages change through times. And there's some very important recent studies on global climate and living species of penguins. Mm-hmm. But our work doesn't weigh in on that. We're interested in, you know, as paleontologists, in what's going on over millions and millions of years. and major changes over that time scale. And what's going on today is happening on a considerably different time scale. So we don't, we are in no way implying that the living species that may be cold adapted won't be quite negatively impacted. Mm.
Why would a species that you have fossils of that existed in a nice warm climate want to go south to Antarctica to live?
Oh, you mean you sort of?
Why would they choose if they could stay where they were in a warmer climate? Why would they go to this nightmarish dark spot and freeze their little feet off, so to speak, in the wintertime?
It's a very good question. You know, as you remarked in the beginning of the conversation, that it appears to be an aberrant thing in penguins, that being, breeding on ice, these adaptations to extremely cold conditions may be a very recent and comparatively, aberrant thing for penguins. Mm-hmm. As to why, we can only speculate. I don't think our evidence doesn't support that penguins en masse, that the whole diversity moved to low latitudes and then moved back to high latitudes, but that basically there was some kind of incentive, perhaps abundant food resources or something, that drove multiple invasions of low latitudes, at least mm-hmm. twice early in their history and at once more recently.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people want to know about these new species. Tell us about this 5-foot penguin. I mean, I've seen in Antarctica the 4-foot, emperor penguins, but I've never seen a 5-foot.
Right. Well, this form, this is Eca diptes. This is a new species that's 36 million years old, and we did an estimate based on, proportions of its bones compared to the largest known fossil giant penguins, which are from high latitude regions, and it kind of came in about the third largest yet known globally. And so it's around 4'11". And if you saw it on a Peruvian shoreline or on a dark street corner, you would recognize it as a penguin. For its kind of rigid paddle-like wings and the stance. But it has this very striking skull, the first glimpse at the skull of a giant penguin, and it's quite narrow, and it's really quite well built. It's a strong, pointed, narrow beak, and at first glance, it really looks very spear-like.
Yeah, it looks like a weapon in the bones. Yeah,
you wouldn't want to meet it necessarily on that dark street corner.
Right, right. And the other species?
And the other species is the size of the second largest living penguin. So that's the king penguin. And again, you would recognize it probably as a penguin, but you might notice some distinctions in the wing structure. And you would also notice the beak being, again, more pointed, not as elongate as the giant penguin, but still quite distinct in shape from any living penguin today.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking time to describe these for us. It's fascinating.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. Julia Clark, Assistant Professor in the Department of Marine, Earth, and Atmospheric Sciences at North Carolina State University in Raleigh.